This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hello, and welcome back to Lola Pops Off About Dramas with your host, Lola. Welcome, welcome back, everyone, to another episode. And as you can see by today's title, we'll be doing a Let's See What's Up, and we're going to be checking out, and I'm going to be giving you my initial thoughts on Arthdal Chronicles, The Sword of Ahriman. And this is season 2 of Arthdal Chronicles, years after the first season. I mean, I was not expecting them to do this. I think it came out in, 2019, the first season, and after all the whatever was going down with it, because I feel like there's a lot of controversy around the season one, and it didn't do well for its production value and how much it cost to make it, and so I just was, not thinking they would ever pick it back up. And so the fact that we got the news break of, who was going to be in it, everything, I was in shock, because I think they did right by getting who they got to be in it, because that was my motivation to come back to season two. Originally, I was thinking about them doing a season 2. I don't think I would have had any real desire to come back, I'm going to be honest. Not that, I was a hater of the first season by any means. I think I'm of the rare camp that actually didn't mind the first season of Arthdal Chronicles, but I also didn't, it wasn't anything to write home about, and I didn't fall in love with it by any means. So I could go without watching its season 2. However, I am a huge Junki fan. I support him always, loving the pieces. And so I was really excited when I saw that he was going to be our kind of two characters, our twin brother characters. I was really excited that was going to be the case. So I came back for season 2. I'll bet I don't know, if I would have had it not been him, I'm going to be honest with you. So I am surprised that I'm even talking about Arthdal Chronicles years later. But we're going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about any of the Game of Thrones comparisons, the fact that, there were some controversies about the first season. I'm not going to even talk much about the first season at all. But in this initial thoughts, I'm going to kind of do what I always do, give you a quick synopsis from online, and then I'm going to jump into just my thoughts. And I will say that my initial thoughts are after watching the first 4 episodes. So I have watched 4 just long hour plus episodes of Arthdal Chronicles season 2, and I am going to do my best to just kind of share some quick thoughts about what I'm feeling after, watching all 4 of those episodes. So yeah, let's get into this episode then, starting with the synopsis. So I think I got this from my drama list. I couldn't find a better synopsis anywhere else, so I think this is the one I'm going to go to. Again, I'm not going into anything about season 1. We're going to just jump into the kind of breakdown of what season 2 is about. So, Arthdal Chronicles, The Sword of Ahriman, depicts the story of what happens in Arthdal approximately a decade later. Over the course of more than 8 years, Arthdal succeeded in suppressing the massive rebellion of the tribes slaughtered by Tagon in season 1, and the Agos finally achieved the reunification of 30 clans after 200 years under the new leadership of Unsum. In season 2, Tagon's Kingdom of Arthdal and Unsum's Agu Union are set to face a great war. Unsum is the ruler of the East now. Tanya is the successor of the Wahan clan, and the story is set 8 years after Tagun has become king. So that is the setup for season 2. That is where season 2 kind of starts at. 8 years later, so, the kind of change of character, a change of actors seems to make sense because they've aged. And so I was fine. Everything was fine with all of that. So yeah, now let's get into my initial thoughts. So do I need to go over who's playing what characters really quickly? Yeah, let me just do that since we do have character changes. So the actor, Jung Dong-gun. He's playing Tagon again. Then we have now Lee Jun-ki playing Eun-sum and the Saya character, or Saya character, sorry. He's playing Saya and Eun-sum. And then we also have a change in characters for Tanya, and we have her played by Shin Se-kyung. And then we have the return of Kim Ok-vin as the queen Taliha, can never pronounce her name. And then a lot of other actors who were kind of like in the troops and in the other tribes, a lot of them did return or reprise their roles, so we don't have too much mess up there, like change there. But there are some character changes there as well. But they're just not as, I guess, important. But anywho, let's go ahead and talk about some of my initial thoughts. First thing I want to get out of the way is kind of aesthetics. I want to just start off by letting you know this drama is just as beautiful as the first season. Beautifully, beautifully shot. This season, I feel like the fight scenes, the fight sequences, the war kind of battle scenes are just so well choreographed. I am super impressed by them, and I don't have any memory of how I viewed the fight scenes and things like that in season one, so I can't really compare, but I have to say I was thoroughly impressed with the fight sequences in these initial episodes. So good, so cool to watch. And of course we have Jun-ki, who is just an action superstar, and I know he did a lot of his stunts in this. I know he's getting up there in age, but I think he still has it. And so just he always looks so good doing like these kind of acrobatic, you know, cool action shots. And I know he did a lot of them. So super cool. Loved watching them. And then everyone themselves look really, really great. I mean, I'm telling you, Se-kyung, beautiful. Oh, she looks beautiful on screen. And then we have Kim Ok-vin, who just stunning. I don't think I was as blown away with her in season one as I am already in this season. Oh my gosh, beautiful. She looks beautiful. And then, of course, Jun-ki, everyone who came back, doing their roles perfectly, acting is there. Lovely. Now, one thing I will say about the aesthetics of this drama, it has to do with hair and makeup. It's distracting because it's just not that well done. I would also say in season one, I also struggled with that. And I feel like you would think after multiple years between the two seasons, they would have gotten better with the hair and makeup, or I don't know what the excuse is or what. Maybe the budget went towards everything else and kind of like they skimped on the hair and makeup, but it is not... It's distracting how bad it is to me. It's very distracting. And especially for someone like Jun-ki, who, you know, usually grows his hair out to give you something to work with, you know, with him having to have longer hair and these, like, you know, historical style dramas. And even his hair is not doing its best. So I am very disappointed in that. And I feel like they should have had the hair and makeup team from Tale of the Night Tale. I mean, this would have never happened had they had that team. So that is a part of the drama I will call out and say they could have done a better job, and it is slightly distracting. But, you know, that's neither here nor there, but I did want to get kind of this aesthetically that I really am enjoying the way the drama looks. The only other thing I want to mention is maybe CGI. They haven't really had as many scenes with the use of CGI as I feel like they did in the first season, where I feel like there were like a lot of mythical figures that we were seeing, and so there was a lot of CGI, and I don't know if they're going to use some of that or get to that later on in this season. But I will say the little bit that I've seen in these first four episodes actually looks really good. I was really, really, really satisfied and happy with the CGI, not distracted by it at all. So I think that, you know, maybe the budget went towards that, and that's why that looks better. But hair and makeup, man, it could be better. It could be better. Okay, so now that we're done with the aesthetics, let me just go into the story. So I will say the story starts seamlessly. I mean, almost too seamlessly, to the point where I felt I really should have went back and rewatched season one before starting season two. It does not miss a beat after like a quick animated retelling of season one in the first episode. It does not miss a beat. What that recap does do, it just kind of sets up where the what the story was in season one and what the story ended up as at the end of it. But what it misses is the mass amount of characters we met in season one. So there comes a point while I was watching this where I felt like I had to pretend like I knew who a character was when honestly I had no clue who they were. I really didn't. I was like, wait, I should know this person, obviously. The way that they're being presented in this scene, I should definitely know who this character is, but I have no clue. But you kind of just watch hoping you kind of remember, at least for me, because again, I watched it back in 2019 and never watched it again after that. Didn't even think to do any kind of recaps or anything before watching season two. So that may be on me. But yeah, I was lost with some of these characters. But there were some places in the first couple episodes where they gave us some flashbacks that definitely helped. But other times I was completely clueless. And, you know, it is what it is, I guess. But the positive thing about that, or what they did, was that even with the lack of knowledge about some of the characters, I did still feel like the dialogue filled in some of those holes. So over time, using context clues, I was able to kind of recall or slightly vaguely remember who the character was based off kind of what their discussion was in dialogue. But that to me leads to a little issue with me in these first four episodes of season two. And it's that this drama is so wordy. And I get it. There's so much politics. There's also this history and the myths of Arthdal and this kind of fictional, you know, place. And it just all overlaps to the point where you can easily get lost. And I think that's exactly what happened when I was watching the first season. Like, I felt like all of it was just a lot. But the good thing about the second season, obviously, is that we have established characters now. So the backstories that we have built up in season one aren't clouding the dialogue too much in this season. So it's, you know, it's helping us focus in on the politics and the history and the myths that we need to pay attention to. You know, it doesn't kind of also include all these things about these characters that we should already know. You know, we don't have to worry about learning about these characters again, which is actually good and bad. Again, it's bad if you're coming from coming to this season two without any knowledge of season one, but it's actually, you know, cool knowing that if you know season one, you just kind of keep moving. And that's what I will say I like about these first four episodes, was that there seemed to be a lot more movement already in this season, where there are just things that are meant to happen or that are supposed to happen, and we're just kind of watching them quickly build up to those happenings, right? And it is only 12 episodes, so that could be the reason where they're like, okay, we don't have enough time. But you know, it actually is nice, because again, it doesn't give the story this kind of lagginess to it. It's like, you just moving, we're moving, we keep it going. And the other thing to know is that, again, because there are so many characters and players in the story, you really do have to pick who you care about and kind of focus in on that next set of characters. For me in season one, Tagon and the Queen were really heavy hitters for me. And I remember being really invested in their side of the story. But this time around, we get the kind of introduction into the twins, Umsum and Seya, immediately. And it's kind of more about their journey back to each other, because they obviously were separated when they were little. And so we kind of are figuring out, or we're invested in seeing them reconnect and find out even about each other, because they didn't even like know that, you know, that they each existed. So I think that was really cool, and I'm enjoying that aspect. And I also think it, you know, this journey between these two twins, it also helps facilitate one of my favorite tropes, which is, you know, the pretending to be someone else, you know, the hidden identity trope that I love so much. And so to me, that is a selling point. And I don't know if that will be a selling point for everyone and if that's enough for people to be hooked and interested. But for me, it really is. It really is an in for me with this drama. And I think, because it's very early on in the first, you know, few episodes, we do get that the two get swapped. They are in their respective camps, and then at some point they swap places, and then everyone, you know, in these camps aren't sure if who they're, you know, who they're talking to. Some people figure out who it is, and some people don't know. And so all of that is stuff that I love, and I'm invested in that, and I am interested in that. But again, I don't know if that's enough for other people to be like really sold on Art Thou Chronicles season 2, okay? But for me, I'm enjoying it, and that is the bulk of the first few episodes. I would have appreciated if there was a little bit more like build up of the Eunsoom character and his transformation into this godlike figure that is like wreaking havoc for Art Thou and the king. I really, really, really wish we got to see a little bit of that lead up. I know at the end we kind of saw the, you know, the transformation beginning, but in the first episode he has already been established. It's 8 years later, and he's just like, you know, people are following behind him. You know, he has droves of tribes that are wanting to be a part of him, you know, his calling. And I wish I would have saw a little bit of that build up, but you know, it's okay. Like I said, they gotta move. But yeah, so that's kind of just like right off the bat, some of my initial thoughts on this drama. Now, what I did want to talk about next would be some moments in the first few episodes that just kind of stood out to me and that I appreciated, or that I maybe didn't appreciate, or I was confused about or concerned about, you know, those type of moments. And again, if you're not gonna watch this drama, then you can keep listening, but if you are, there may be a little bit of spoilers in these first four episodes, but not enough to like deter you from watching the drama if you were gonna watch it. So the first thing is the war, the battle that kind of is the very first two episodes of this season two. And this war, or the battle, is between our two brothers, our twins, Eunsoom and Seya. And it is so, so good. It is so, so good. It reminds us of the big difference between the two brothers, because that's the thing that we do get to see in the first season. We get to see who Seya is, and we get to see who Eunsoom is, and they are totally different people. And I love that, because I don't remember much about the first season, that I was able to remind myself of how they are and some of their characteristics and who they are with the use of this kind of battle between the two. Because we have Eunsoom, it's the one who has, you know, basically become a godlike figure. He has always been more gifted and skilled in battle and combat. And then you have Seya, who grew up without any love and was completely hidden away from just interacting with other people. So everything that he learned of the world was through books. So when you get to see this battle go down between these two, it is established again all over that how different they are, and yet how, because of their difference, them being brought together is going to create this kind of whole that we are basically trying to get for the world to change in our style, which again is a big premise of the story. Which I will say one thing about that, the big lore, or the big kind of myth of this, or prophecy of this drama starting in season one and is obviously fully realized, or going to be fully realized in season two, is the unification of Seya, Eunsoom, and our Tanya character. They are the three elements that need to be kind of combined in order to create this new world. And in the first season, I appreciated that lore. I appreciated that kind of prophecy, and kind of like there's these three that are together, they create something. They're going to create something whole and new. And I really like that. I actually like that premise. I like that setup for any story, really. So seeing that this is going to be the realization in this season two of that kind of prophecy, I'm actually really anticipating like how they're going to pull that all together. But yeah, so either way, like I said, the first opening episodes are kind of this battle between the two brothers, and it sets up and reestablishes just their personalities and how different they are. And I really, really love that scene and the playing out of the scene. And I will just go ahead and ruin that Seiya gets destroyed, because they even mentioned like everything he's learned about battle and war came from books, right? He's just kind of like fronting these battles, but he actually is not fighting in them because he doesn't have the skill to do so. That's, he has the brain, he has the wit, he doesn't have the actual physical skill to be able to go into war. While his brother Umsum, he is leading the pack, you know, he's leading the war, he is there on the ground fighting, and I just love it. I love it. So that is one moment that I really want to talk about. The other moment that I really wanted to talk about was the fact that everyone is an enemy of someone, and it's a little frustrating. like the characters, I feel like I too don't know what they should trust or who they should trust. I feel like everybody has their own agendas and their own individual plots and plans, and yet at some point they're gonna, you know, connect with one person to realize that plan, but then the next time, if that person does not kind of support their next move, then they can just quickly betray them. And it's kind of annoying and frustrating to watch. But I will say, I think that is one of the themes in this story of Arthdal Chronicles, as far as like greed and kind of individual pursuit. And I think the whole point is that that's the problem with the world that they're living in right now, and why they need to create a new one. So again, as much as it frustrates me and annoys me beyond measure, I do think it's supposed to tie in to kind of the overarching, or one of the overarching themes of the story. And yes, so if you're like me, you're gonna get annoyed with it, but you know, I guess that's the thing with like politics and political intrigue and palace intrigue. It's like you never know who to trust, the characters never know who to trust, and that's a part of the intrigue. So I'll let them have it, but I will say it annoys me beyond belief. And then another thing to point out, and not too much of a spoiler, because again, it happens very early on in these first four episodes, we get a major character death in these first opening episodes. And to me, that was just another show of how this story is moving really quickly. And I was a little taken aback by the death of this character, and I was a little sad, because, you know, this character was very important in season one, and kind of like the realization of the twins and Tanya. I loved how, you know, they had kind of connected and he was distrusting her, and then they kind of formed a team, and for him to die in this early on in this season, it was like, man, really? That's it? So I wasn't the happiest with his death, but I think they're moving. They're like, you know, we gotta move. We gotta start killing people off. So yeah. But let me see, there's another thing. So the other thing I want to mention is that, and this is probably just another testament to how fast the story is moving, the reunion of Umsum and Tanya, because as we know, Umsum and Tanya have gotten separated very early on in season one. They got completely pulled apart from one another, and a lot of their story is like them trying to journey back together in a way, but because they can't necessarily journey back together, they end up having to kind of set their feet in where they are and kind of get themselves in positions of power to eventually get together again. But she also meets Seiya at that time, and there's their kind of connection or whatever that they have, but she is in love with Umsum and Umsum is in love with her, and yet we can never really see them together in season one. We barely see them together. They're on their own, two different camps, and they are just like doing their own thing. And so to see them reunite in season two, and then they immediately kiss, like it's like we get a hug and we get a kiss like right off the bat with their meeting, and I was a little taken back, I'm gonna be honest. There was no lead up to it, and I was kind of hoping that there would be some hesitancy, some kind of awkwardness with them kind of reuniting, some distrust maybe, I don't know. I just wanted to be a little bit of more tension between their reunion. But yeah, they were like again, we don't have time to waste. It's been years since they've seen each other, and we only have 12 episodes. Let's go. And I guess that was okay, but I just wish they would have gave us a little bit more build up to them reconnecting. But it was like immediately, we found each other again. Love ya. Here's a kiss. Let's fight together. Let's ride together. And then the tension that they do end up presenting with their relationship is only after this kind of initial reunion with a kiss and a hug, you know. Then they start to show where there may be some hesitation with their reunion, their reconnection. And I thought that should have been the start of it, honestly. It's just kind of grand, like, hug and kiss moment. But, you know, that's just me. And then the other thing I have to say, and this is right at the end of episode 4, where we get the lore of the people who have mixed blood, as far as like they are part like Neanderthal and human, and they thus have purple blood. And I love that. I loved it in season 1, and I definitely still am enjoying it in this season, because at the end of episode 4, it got really good. It got really, really good with like the purple blood, the bleeding, the reveal of the blood, the twist of like now what people with purple blood, you know, like what their mixed blood or them being mixed people, like what this now is going to be for Arthdal. Like, I am so looking forward to that. So I actually think that the ending of episode 4 really kind of set up for me that I am gonna probably finish watching this. I was a little concerned, I'm gonna be honest, because in earlier episodes, with some of the kind of long, lengthy dialogues and just kind of like the political, you know, stuff that was sitting around grand tables, I got a little sleepy. But definitely the battling, the fight sequences keeps you like seated. I mean, I'm always like, oh my gosh, this looks so good. Oh, this is so great. So the ending of episode 4, where there's like this grand like fight, is just so good. And then the reveal of the blood, the purple blood, and I loved it. So I definitely think for me, season 2 is actually doing really well for me. I'm actually in shock that I'm enjoying it as much as I am. Again, I was hoping it would be less overwhelming and less confusing as season 1, because again, we've established all of our major players, all of our characters, so I was hoping that it would be a lot clearer and a lot kind of just smoother to kind of start, and it was. However, I do think it would be helpful if you knew what was going on in season 1 before you start season 2. I really do think there is it's just like a immediate flow. Like there's no moment where they're allowing you to kind of catch your breath to figure out who's who again, what was their backstory, what are these people, what is this tribe again. Like they don't give you any time to remember that stuff. It's just there. So I would say you would definitely need a recap, a really good recap of season 1 before going into season 2 to fully enjoy it, I think. Because again, as someone who was like letting myself just go with the flow when I didn't remember things, I don't think that's the best way to enjoy a drama, obviously. So to really, I think, fully realize it and enjoy it, you do need to have some background knowledge of season 1. But I will say, I'm surprised that I'm enjoying it so much. And I do think it has a lot to do with the fact that everything's been so established and that I already know kind of who my characters are that matter to me. And then I'm able just to kind of go on into their story without much hesitation. So I think that has been really good. The pacing of this drama is pretty solid. And I think it's working in its favor for me, for sure. So I'm enjoying Arthdal Chronicles, The Sword of Ahriman. I've been enjoying it. I don't know, again, if it's the best story in the world or is anything new under the sun. Obviously, the comparisons to Game of Thrones and all that kind of stuff from season 1. But I mean, I don't mind it. It's something completely different than what I'm watching right now. And I like that, because sometimes you just need something different. And it was different when I watched it back in 2019, and it's still pretty different to me. I've only watched 2 seasons of Game of Thrones, so I'm not one to make comparisons or to say anything about this type of story, but I'm not mad at it. Again, just like in season one, but in season one, I remember there was a lot of just people ripping it to shreds, and a lot of it had to do with like the inaccuracy of some of the styling choices and costuming and things like that, and just anachronisms. And I, again, don't know much. I have no clue. So for me, I'm not looking for that in the story or in the season one or season two. So maybe there are other people who have a lot of blaring like issues with this opening of season two, that, you know, have to do with something like that. But I don't have those things. I think aesthetically it looks really good. I have no problems. I'm enjoying looking at it just play out on screen. Again, I'm okay with the story setup. As I like a lot of the elements of the story, as far as like the twins, the pretending to be other people, this theme of like these three people having to unite to bring change and bring a whole new world upon this kind of dying, decaying, evil world. Like, I love all that. So I don't know if I'm the best person to really critique or, you know, really say anything bad about this drama, but I don't think I have much. I actually am enjoying it. I'm excited to watch next episode. I know, weird, right? Like I said, I love the ending of episode four, so I'm looking forward to the next one. I'm a little concerned. I am a little concerned with the relationship between Eunsam and Tanya, because like I said, the way they reunited was immediately like, oh my gosh, you know, I missed you, here's a hug and a kiss. But then, you know, episode later, all of a sudden there's some tension between them because they kind of are showing that they have different values of this new world, or even the need for a new world. And I think that should have been like out the gate what they established, instead of them kind of like showing that they were, you know, teaming up again or anything like that. So I'm interested to see how their relationship actually plays out. And the other thing I will say I miss is this kind of romance element to it. I don't feel like there's much romance to this story. In season one, obviously with the Tanya and Eunsam situation, we got some of that, but that's, I don't know if we're going to get much of that in this season. And I'm missing that. I would really like that. And also in season one with our king and our queen, their story, their kind of very toxic and confusing love story also. Like, I enjoyed that. So I'm sad that we don't have a big element of romance in this season two. And if we do, I don't know where it's going to come from. I don't know where it's going to come from. But yeah, that's something that I'm missing, which is weird because I don't need romance in a lot of stories. But I feel like this is a good story to have a really grand love story. So I'm a little disappointed. But yeah, so that's it, guys. I didn't want to hold you and kind of go over episodes scene by scene or anything about Arthur Chronicles, because again, I don't think this is everybody's cup of tea at all. But I am enjoying it. I think I will be finishing this drama. It's not anything, I mean, it's nothing to write home about now. Don't twist my words to make me out to be the person who's like, I highly recommend season two of Arthur Chronicles. Not that necessarily. I think if you watch season one, I think it would be wise to finish up with season two. I think it is a great seamless like flow from season one into season two. So I think it's fine if you watch season one. Not saying that you had to love season one, because I don't know if I love season one, but I didn't mind it either. So I think if you watched it, I think it's fair to say definitely check out season two. Now, if you have not watched season one, I would not start season two without some kind of recap or some kind of backstory or history about season one. It does not give you any room to like, it doesn't give you any room to not know what's going on. And again, it's to its benefit. And also, I think it's not, if again, you want people to start watching this without any knowledge of the first season. Because that little recap at the beginning, the little animated recap, was not good enough at all. Speaking from someone who did watch season one, I was so confused. I was like, that's it? That's what happened? Just kidding. I knew what happened in season one, but it was just very baseline as far as a recap goes. And there's so many other things that happened in season one that I'm like, that they reference all throughout these first four episodes. And I'm like, it would have been nice to get a little refresher on that. But yeah, so definitely one that I'm watching, but not sure if I would recommend it off the bat to anyone to start just yet. Okay. Yeah. But that's it, guys. That is all I have for this episode. I want to thank you so much for listening. And whether you're listening in the morning or in the afternoon or in the evening, I hope you have a great day. So everyone, it's been real. Lola's off.